You're listening to the Collab Talk podcast, episode 255 of the MVP Buzz Chat series. In this episode, I'm talking with security MVP Andrew O. Young. Hey, everybody, this is Christian Buckley doing another MVP Buzz Chat, and I'm talking today with Andrew. Hello.
Hi. How are you going?
I'm doing well here, and congratulations on the new MVP. It's always fun to, you know, besides, I just met you a few months ago at an event down in your country, and to be able to now congratulate you on getting your MVP. So it's a big deal. So congrats.
Yeah, it's an honor.
Well, for folks that don't know you, Andrew, who are you, where are you, and what do you do?
Yeah, so I'm Andrew O. Young. I am based in Adelaide in South Australia. So I am a consultant, just pretty broad title. But yeah, I've done a fair amount of work through modern work, so Microsoft 365, moving through things like SharePoint and Teams, and then touching with Azure, and then moving on to the Power Platform. So nowadays I'm focusing a bit more on Power Platform, a little bit of Dynamics, which is scary at times. But aside from that, I do run a user group here, so the Adelaide Microsoft IT Pro Community. A bit of a mouthful. We cover across many of the topics and services through Microsoft. So anything from Teams to Intune and all that jazz. We try to run that monthly with some guest speakers. And I also try to keep a blog up to date with random announcements and changes and sometimes some of my woes and successes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, I think you may have answered the question we were talking before we started recording about, so you're an Intune MVP, or that's your added on. And obviously, like, I know you from M365 world. I mean, all the rest of the collaboration stack. So somebody who does the bulk of their work in the modern workplace space become an Intune MVP. But if you're running a user group that is IT Pro, that's traditionally like the Intune crowd right there in that label.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but the focus of the work started shifting from, you know, emails and all that towards more device management and security. So I guess, yeah, the last 12 to 24 months has been a lot of just everything. So I guess Intune is one of those things I ended up taking command of because there wasn't as many people doing it at the time. So, the user group, I think it was originally like an SCCM or some data center related group, and there's been through some rebrands and changes. And the co-host did have a few Intune related topics throughout the year. So I guess the MVP team thought that's more Intune geared. By heart, I'm still very M365.
Yeah. Well, and again, that's something that's interesting. I mean, Microsoft, they move the buckets around every once in a while, but you're like, I write a lot about, I talk about collaboration, productivity, and AI and stuff that I've been doing for years and years. And, so it's great that it's become a major category. They're pushing for people to come AI. So you see increasingly MVPs that suddenly become a dual, and they're even, people that have three areas of focus, so three separate awards because they're doing so much in those categories. So it shifts around, it moves around. There's opportunity to, it's like going to MVP Summit. It's almost like, going to a university and be like, which electives do I want to take? So I can go to my SharePoint sessions, or I can go over here to these Azure sessions. And so whatever, you want to kind of build contacts around and build your network around, you can go to those sessions. So that's a nice, Microsoft has really opened up with that for MVPs. Once you're in an area, you can expand your footprint.
Something to aspire to, huh?
Yeah. So what was your path to becoming an MVP? Like, what was the process? What did that look like for you?
Yeah, so let's jump back. Was it almost 7 years now. So I attended my first Microsoft Ignite in person. And it was the last one that was that big in Australia. So it was in the Gold Coast in 2017. Yeah, I don't know, didn't really know what to expect. Had a friend say, hey, you should definitely go and try to get to this red party. I'm like, what does that even mean? So I got there. So the pre-event day, it was like, oh, I don't know what to expect. Go in, get given your fancy backpack, which it seems wear and tear now, but they introduced us to a handful of MVPs, and I was like, oh, what do these guys do? And just getting introduced and discovering what they kind of do and their own jobs and for the tech community itself. And it was like, oh yeah, this is pretty cool. And then as the event progressed, it was very eye-opening. I met more and more MVPs and just other tech enthusiasts, and we got along pretty well. Took some selfies. I met this guy called Dux. I mean, I'm sure everyone knows Dux by now. If you've attended any of these events, and it was like, this guy's really cool. I'm going to be like him. And kind of just, from then on, it was, what do I need to do to kind of be a one of these people? So I spoke to a couple of the more local based Australian MVPs, and it's like, what did you do and how do I get there? And they did mention something about user groups or meetups, which I was like, what? So then I came back after the event to Adelaide and started looking, and there were a couple. So the one I'm running or co-running now is one of the ones that I joined at the time. So slowly I said, oh, well, yeah, let me do something for this community. I'll join in and do some stuff. So they brought me on, started doing some unique news feeds at the start of the sessions. And then Adam Fowler, who was one of the hosts at the time, he got a job at Microsoft. So he relinquished his MVP title and he didn't have the capacity to run the group anymore. So he promoted me to actual co-host. I've been running that alongside Brett Moffat, and we've been trying to keep that as consistent as possible. So a lot of that is just more news and announcements and changes. Occasionally I'll do a session on something that might be interesting. Leading up to that as well, it was I did a couple of presentations, and I started the blogging process as well after attending at night. Probably about a year after, I'd say, which is roughly when I started doing contributions to user groups. So yeah, kind of hand in hand. And then the sessions were kind of recorded, and then the unprecedented times happened, and we went to a online only situation, which is it was good and bad. I mean, be more people because it's online, everyone's got time, right?
And there's more to do, there's more opportunities to speak and that kind of stuff. I mean, that was a real positive, but
A lot of camera off and mic off, so it's just talking to a screen really, right. Which is still every now and then it happens. And I'd rather there be a crowd, because there have been a couple of sessions where the room's been empty, so it's a little bit soul crushing, but you're still there doing your thing, right? You got to do what you do. Lost my train of thought there.
it's funny. I always talked about it. So a long time ago, 30 years ago, I had a band. I was the lead singer for it. We did a couple shows where some gigs where, we got like the minimal charge, and then we earned a little off of anybody that came in. And a couple times we found ourselves the bar emptied out. People were outside smoking and there was nobody in the room, and we had to continue playing, and we just decided, we're going to play for ourselves kind of things. And, that's what it feels like with the pure online, like there's no interaction, depending on the technology you're using, and it's different tools, different times, it's sometimes when you're presenting and it's great to have a second person there who can see if there's questions that are coming through the Q&A module or within the chat or something and doing that. But it's frustrating. It's hard to do that. I've done some live audiences where there was no comment, there was no feedback, and I just thought, wow, I tanked this thing. There was nothing. And then I got strong numbers on feedback. Like, but I definitely prefer the in-person, you know, having that interaction. I would much rather have an hour of content and then get through 20, 30 minutes of that because of the different questions and maybe take it in a different direction if that's what, you know, the audience is looking for. If we could have a really, you know, in-depth conversation down one path of that, of my planned content, I look at that as much more of a success than, hey, in 60 minutes, I got through 60 minutes of slides and demos. I mean, it's just, I'd rather have the interaction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, well, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the events that in the conferences you go to, like when you're an attendee, like you see how they control the room and other how the audience reacts to things. But if you, yeah, if there's no one there, that's really, it's really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it can be. Yeah. Again, it's not like everything has to go well. It's even when I've had, you know, presentations or sections of a presentation where I haven't, you know, it's something that's new or I don't feel like I have many of the answers that I know people are going to ask about that. And sometimes it's good just to collect, like, that's a great question. And let me follow up. Let me go and find those things out. Or I don't know, or does anybody else know here? So there's ways of presenting that where, again, you don't have to know everything about, you know, 100% of the products that you're talking about, but share what you know and capture the questions. And so I iterate on some of the sessions that I do regularly. It's might have the same title, but it's different each time because I'm adding to it. I'm making changes to it every single time.
Even one of the recent events we were just at, like a running joke where we'll take that offline, we'll get back to you and we'll circle back to that.
Yeah,
things like that. But I mean, yes, it does mean a lot when you do follow up with those questions after the event to the people asking them. But yeah, speaking of the online times, I reached out to the team running the M365 May at the time. So it was guys in Melbourne. So it was Lorraine, Megan, and Rebecca. So they were running a large show for the whole month of May with presenters from everywhere, really. So we got in on that. So that was nice. And then finally, last year in August at the Digital Workplace Conference in Melbourne, got to meet all these MVPs I'd only seen online before. One of the guys, like Daryl Webster from New Zealand, got lunch with him and we had a sit down and we talked about the whole MVP process and submissions and stuff like that. So it was a good sanity check to make sure that I am on the right track to doing things that would be considered, worthy of an award. So, based on that, I guess it was a good advice.
Well, that's something I, if you've not already, I mean, I realize you've been an MVP for an entire day and a half, right?
Yeah.
But it's, just be prepared where people are going to come and start asking those questions. I mean, there's a lot of resources that are out there, but that's, probably the most common thing, when I was a brand new MVP, it was, the first couple months was, people saying is like, well, what was the process? What was that like? What do you recommend? I'm interested in finding out more about that. And so, it's a black box there, but there's certainly things that you can do to get yourself organized and to even think about. So what is a contribution? Like, what am I doing for the community? In fact, I just had a conversation today. I've been doing something, kind of some mentoring for the last year. I completely forgot to add that to my contributions. The fact that I've been doing something for the community on a monthly scheduled basis with results. I didn't think of that. It was just something that I was doing to help some people within the community, but it's all focused on this. It's all the technology related. Even as long as I've been doing it for 12 years now, and I need to remember to capture all of these activities and add it to those contributions. Why does that matter for folks that are MVP? Because we want to be renewed as an MVP. So it's a reward for what you did the last year, but you've got to keep doing stuff to get re-awarded. But yeah, anyway, you'll get tons more opportunities. So I'm excited for you. It's going to be a bit of drinking from the fire hose, especially all of the NDA calls that you just remember, you don't have to say yes to everything.
They're all at 3:30 a.m. I don't know how it would like to say yes to
well, yeah. Well, some of them, some of them have the different times. And so they have their APAC schedule, not all of them, but yeah. Thankfully it used to be with most of those calls, if you weren't on it, there were no recordings like that. That was it, but they're getting much better about that now. So at least you can watch the recordings.
Mm. Yeah. But yeah, it does hurt when you see the ones that you might be able to weigh in on or contribute to, but it's like, by that time.
Yeah, just do some time shifting. Just spend a couple of weeks and just sleep during the day. And
I'm sure work all of that.
Yeah. Well, very cool. So what are your so we talked a little bit about your focus area stuff, but what are you excited about? What technologies, which products, which things are you like most excited about right now? What are you writing and talking about?
God, well, just coming out of Christmas, so nothing much. but yeah, coming on tail end of last year, everybody's flavor of the month was Copilots and AI and Copilot for Copilot and stuff like that. And Copilot for little C. But yeah, that's pretty cool. There's heaps of like stuff going out there, but it's all still very gated by you need X number of this and Y number of that. So until I get some hands on, which I imagine we do get access to something.
Yes, that you need to look into that. There is an MVP access to Copilot. So for M365 Copilot,
I just hit up the support team to get access to the Microsoft Teams channels, and they did a typo on my display name. But I'm sure I'll get back in and I'll poke them about that.
Yeah, ping them when we're done here. Make sure that you for the person to add you into this. To add you in the Copilot, I can give you that name when we wrap. I don't want to inundate her with other people reaching out to her that aren't MVPs. When the recording stops. But so that's definitely something. Yeah, there's a lot of other perks, access that you'll get into things. So
yeah, I've been running throughout this morning, which is why I was running late to join this.
Yeah,
but yeah. In terms of excitement, anything AI Copilot is really the flavor of the month. Still, it does rely on having your data in M365 up to scratch and secure and governed and all that. So, it's full circle, right? There's no escaping from SharePoint. And I guess, I haven't really done a heap of Intune stuff since changing gigs, so I might have to swing back and do some more updates on that. But I'm sure my user group contributions will keep that afloat.
Yeah. Well, very cool. Well, for folks that want to reach out to you, connect with you, where are you most active in the social platforms?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn. I'm also on Twitter /X or whatever you want to call it these days. But LinkedIn's probably the best source. So I'm sure you'll have the show notes, including the links and all that stuff afterwards. And I'll send through all the links anyway. But LinkedIn's probably the best.
I'll include all the links to everything that I find, and I'll put it out on, it'll be on the blog post, out on YouTube, and out on the podcast as well. So if people want to reach out to Andrew, please do. It's always good to get the perspectives of the newbies into the program because in fact, since you'll get the latest of all the things to sign on to, all the different resources, Microsoft is good with that to make sure that you're set up, you're aware of all the benefits. The new site has a section, I don't know if you've explored that extensively, but that walks through all the benefits and the things that are there. Like I said, drinking from the fire hose next couple months.
It's a bigger fire hose now.
Well, Andrew, hey, it was great connecting with you again. Hopefully I get to see you once or twice later this year. So I think more travels that are going to be happening. So wish you well. Hope to see you at MVP Summit, but I understand the time and cost of coming from abroad, but hope to see you in March. But otherwise, hey, thanks a lot for sharing some of your background with this audience.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me.